From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
There's sometimes I'll clap to the Lord, but sometimes I clap and I clap at the devil. And I say, Satan, you are defeated. What you're trying to do over my family, I defeat you in Jesus' name. You have no part of my son, my daughters. In Jesus' name, you're defeated. I defeat you in what you're trying to do over my finances, over my marriage. I take authority over you that's been given to me by the Lord. You are defeated. Because the enemy knows if you don't take the authority that you've been given, he's just going to take advantage.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Just before Christmas, Pastor Wayne gave a series of messages on different gifts that we can bring the Savior, and one message was entitled, The Gift of Worship. In this message, Pastor Wayne shows us three ways in which we can worship and how our worship not only exalts God, but it defeats the enemy. But just before the message, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship from New Hope Christian Fellowship.
In this hymn, it's an ageless hymn, it talks about that, trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And we're going to talk about the huge purpose attached to obedience. Why does God want us to obey Him? Why? There's a huge purpose, and we're going to talk about that. But before we do, let's learn the Hawaiian chorus of this age-old hymn, Trust and Obey. And it'll come up on the screen, and let's try it. It goes like this. Ke ala nōne e haoli mau ai e paulele a ho'olohe. Mau kakoya Yesu. You got that, huh? Yeah. You already know that. Let's try it. Ready? Ke ala nōne. Ke ala nōne. E haoli mau ai. E paulele.
The joy He bestows are for them who
Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message, The Gift of Worship.
And so when we clap after a song or after a worship chorus, it's something that's not only something that says we sign a covenant or we seal a covenant. It's also, Lord, you've asked us to be a people that claps our hands and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. It's a sign that attributes a performance to somebody, isn't it? When like we make a touchdown, we'll clap because you're attributing victory. And we still do that today, and that's a part of worship. So why do we clap? Would you write down? Because it attributes victory. We clap to the Lord. Not only is it to seal a covenant, but we're saying, Lord, you're the victorious one. And we're grateful for that. It's an expression of gratitude. Nothing wrong with that. Now, there is an interesting phrase in the book of Corinthians that talks about our praise is like a fragrance to God. And when we worship God with the postures, whether it be uplifted hands or clapping or singing, the Bible says it's like a fragrance to the Lord that delights Him as children are opening up this gift of worship. But Paul says something really interesting. He says this fragrance is to some a fragrance of life and to others a fragrance of death. I thought, what? I couldn't understand what that was all about, this fragrance thing, some to life, some to death. Until I began to do some background research. In Bible times, kings would enlarge their territory and reign by conquering neighboring kings. Now, sometimes they would make alliances and go after another, but they would have to be friends because they could turn on each other too. So they would make alliances, but most of the times they would just expand their territory through conquering and war. Well, if a king who would be in his castle, and this would extend all the way through to medieval times, and the realm that he oversaw, if he heard from his scouts and his advisors that another opposing king was coming to war, he would gather and muster his militia, ride out to the plains outside of his realm where they would battle. And the score would be settled there. And this was the booty that the winner would take. If this other opposing king would win the battle, he would now own your kingdom and realm. And now he would expand his kingdom. On the other hand, if the defending king won, then all of these armies would be executed and he would retain possession of his realm and kingdom, and the other kings would know that this is a powerful king. Don't mess with him. So, this is what would happen. The king would ride out and they would battle. Now, let's say the defending king would win. When he would return to his realm with all of his regalia and glory and triumph, the people of this community or his realm, the citizenry, would line the cobblestone streets when he would come through the gates. And they would pick flowers, the most fragrant, the most pungent flowers that they could find, sort of like our plumeria here in Hawaii, but in other countries like Australia, it would be called frangipani. And different, but same flowers, different names. They would take these and almost fill 1 or 2 inches deep of flowers on the cobblestone streets. Because the goal was when the king would come with his chariot wheels and it would crush the petals and the horse hooves and the men's boots would crush the petals. And when it did, it would emit the fragrance in these flowers and release this beautiful smell. And people would line the streets and clap. And this was sort of the context of where you see flower girls, bridesmaids, flower girls that would strew the like rose petals on the walkway, in the pathway, on the aisle where the bride would walk down. And the thought is that when she would walk on these petals, it would crush them and emit a fragrance. And that was just from olden days. That's how they would do it. Well, when the king would come in, the constituency and the citizenry would clap or applaud and attribute victory to the king. And also connected with this would be the fragrance from the crushed petals. And so this would be a fragrance of victory that would be emitted. And they would applaud and attribute victory to the king. But directly after the king would come those taken as prisoners in war, and their arms or hands would be shackled, and they would be walking, and they would smell the same fragrance. But it would not be a fragrance of life and victory. To them, it would be a fragrance of what? Of death. The enemy that was defeated. The king has defeated you. And you are now sentenced to death. And that same fragrance to one would be a fragrance to life, another would be a fragrance to death. And the people would change their applause, where they would clap in one way, would attribute victory to the king. When others, the prisoners of war would be taken, going to their death, they would not clap for them, but they would clap at them. And they would actually boo or hiss those people. And we see that today in football games, of course, not here in the Aloha Stadium, but in other places they would boo and hiss. But in those days, that's where it came from. They'd clap at them like this and boo and hiss. It would be not only to attribute, as it were, on one hand, victory to the king. Now, this would be something that they would do, a posture that they would take that it would attribute, not victory, but attribute defeat. Would you write that in? That's another reason we clap. Is because the enemy that has been defeated by our king and that exchanged life for us. Because the citizens would say, our king won the battle, and what would have been death for us has been exchanged for life. He has given us life for death. And so in attributing victory to the king, they would now attribute defeat to the enemy. And that's why the scripture says, and let's read it together, under attributing victory, would you read with me 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15? Go. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are... Yeah. Because you see, when we attribute defeat to the enemy, then we are saying the same fragrance that is life to one, to the enemy, means defeat. And as we clap to the Lord and lift our hands and attribute victory to the Lord, it also is something that says to the devil, you're defeated. You're defeated. In fact, in the book of Job, let's read this next scripture, Job 27. Go. Men will clap their hands at him and hiss him from his place. That was attributing defeat. And in Nahum, it speaks about the devil, that he is going to be defeated by God. And let's read how he is described. Go. There is no relief for your breakdown. Your wound is incurable. All who hear about you will clap their hands over you. Yeah. There's different postures that we need to take. There's sometimes I'll clap to the Lord, but sometimes I clap And I clap at the devil. And I say, Satan, you are defeated. What you're trying to do over my family, I defeat you in Jesus' name. You have no part of my son, my daughters. In Jesus' name, you're defeated. I defeat you in what you're trying to do over my finances, over my marriage. I take authority over you that's been given to me by the Lord. You are defeated. And we as husbands need to take, and wives, take authority. Because the enemy knows if you don't take the authority that you've been given, he's just going to take advantage. But when the enemy knows you're starting to take the authority that God gives to you, he stands up and takes notice. That's why the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so sometimes I just go, you got to go off in the corner and I just do some battle with him. Because I need to say to the devil, you will not go past here. You are finished. You have been defeated at the cross, and I confirm that in Jesus' name. Somebody has to take authority. And it's you. That's why God gives you these kinds of weapons. For the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful through God to the pulling down of strongholds, spiritual strongholds. What he's saying is this, if a Bradley tank comes against you, you don't go after it with a water pistol. You got to use commensurate weapons. And the same is true when the devil's attacking you and your family. You got to know how to put up a standard against him. And God is saying, I will give you the postures of worship that also brings defeat to the enemy. For I have already won the fight, and it's time you claim that. And so God gives you that authority. There's times that I'd lift my hands over my kids when they were sleeping at night. I'd walk into their room in the dark because that's a way to bless them. And I'd say, Lord, I'd lift my hands over my kids and I bless them. I impart a blessing, Lord. You know what they need. And Lord, I right now as a dad stand over them and bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, when you do that, make sure they're sleeping, because if they get up and see you doing this, they like freak out. So... But it's a spiritual posture that I take. No, it's not some weird thing. It's some biblical thing. And so I see what God gives me invitation to do. I match that because I'm going to worship him in spirit and in truth. And when God says, when you start doing that, God starts looking for you. Because now you're someone who's going to make a difference. And it's a gift that we open up to him that delights the Father. Because worship has been something from the very beginning of creation. He choreographed creation with music and worship. And it's something that identifies the people of God. It restores identity to who we are. And the postures of singing, the postures of an uplifted hand, hands that bless God, bless people, that impart a blessing. We need to do that more. Just be a people saying, Lord, I'm going to lift my hands. Use me to impart blessings to these around me and to this church and to my family and to others. May I be a people of blessing. And then when we clap, not only do we attribute victory to the Lord, but we remind the enemy that he's defeated. And it's a powerful stance that we can take. And we want to do that. In closing, this is what I'd like us to do. Pastor Rod's going to come and lead us in a couple of songs, but I'd like you to put your notes aside. And in a moment, I'm going to ask us to stand. And what we're going to do is we're going to attribute victory to the King and a shout of triumph to the Lord. And then we're going to pause. And there's some of you where the adversary of your soul has been encroaching on your life, messing with your kids or messing with your life or your future, your health, your finances. And we're going to stop and we're just going to change the tenor of our clapping. And we're going to take authority over the enemy. And you need to clap in this way. And you just say, Satan, you're defeated over my family. I defeat you over my family. I defeat you over the certain areas that you know he's been encroaching. And then we're going to restore again that applause to the King by attributing victory as we conclude. And then we'll sing a couple of songs. And then put in practice all the postures that God has given to us. So that indeed we'll be a people who worship God in spirit and in truth. For such the Father seeks to be his worshipers. So at this time, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask us now to just raise up an applause offering to the King. A tribute victory to the one who has won the battle. Hallelujah to the King. We shout a shout of triumph. Hallelujah. I want us to attribute defeat to the enemy. There's some things that he's been doing in your life, and you just need to let him know that he's defeated and God's given you the authority to proclaim that. Go ahead, Satan, we defeat you in Jesus' name. We defeat you over what you've been trying to do in our lives, our families, this church. You are defeated in the cross of God. You're defeated.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Gift of Worship by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.